Let me tell you about something new.
It's time.
A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, this beautiful Thursday, Friday Eve, yay! And we are on the third Friday of the month, and if you don't know by now, we were just going to tell you it's the third Friday, it's Thursday, third Thursday of the month. It was Tech Thursday, and we're here talking about some back-to-school tech stuff with Mr. Burton Kelso of Integral. Good morning, Burton. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm wondering about your week. You're so eager for it to be Friday.
it's been like that the last couple of weeks. I can't explain it. And there's nothing wrong with my weeks. I just, because, hey, I'm still working on Saturday, too. Just happy.
I'm glad to hear it. You know, there's a lot of down people in these times, so it's good to hear someone with some positivity in their voice. So
I have to, you know, and it's one of those things, like what they say, fake it until you make it, or like some people are saying now, faith it until you make it. You just have to have faith in the creator and just, you know, do what you got to do.
Amen. I like that. Faith it till you make it. I like it. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah. So, what's going on? You know, you've been busy. That's an understatement. Because people got it like that right now.
I know. I think the biggest thing that, you know, we're dealing with right now is this whole back-to-school or stay-at-home fiasco. I mean, have you been watching the news with districts opening up and then having to send kids back home because of COVID cases, and the same thing with colleges? So, I mean, I think parents are just really in a position where, you know, they don't really know what to do with their kids. So I think it really is important for parents to be prepared for both. And so,
I think parents, this is just my opinion. I think parents are reacting because they have had the kids. They're not used to having their kids around that much. And they are so overwhelmed, not only having to have the kids, but having to make sure that the kids are getting educated and keeping up right now. They are so overwhelmed that they can't wait to send them back into a quote-unquote normal environment. And
take them out of the house.
You know, get them out of the house. You know, they don't know how to handle it, and that's basically
what it is.
And it's like, you know, and the funny part about it now, they always talk about, the kids are on the screens all the time. They don't want to interact. I don't think you're doing that anymore. Yeah.
No. I think the other thing too. What if you're a bad parent? You got a baby kid at home who don't listen. And you were used to sending them off to school. So that would be another reason why parents would want to get those kids out of the house. But the other thing that parents are having to deal with, too, is the fact that they're already furloughed or working from home. So, you know, it can be a big challenge as far as, well, not only am I stuck at home, but now my kids are stuck at home, too. So what do I do? Or how do I prepare my household so that everybody can work at home? Whereas, you know, I mean, obviously if you have internet at the house, then it, right. you know, it wasn't really a problem if it was just you at home. But now it's, you know, you got a kid or kids, mm-hmm. it can cause real problems. So,
and
then, you know, what about the other technology that you have to deal with? So, yeah, it's something, I hate to say it, it's something parents should have thought of back in March, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now we're here and parents are struggling as far as what they need to do. As far as making sure that everyone can, quote unquote, work from home and be productive and be, you know, be productive and be happy. Because, I mean, I think that's the key, too, you know, is making sure that your family's happy. So that's
right.
That's the big news, you know.
Right. And shameless plug here. That's why some of y'all are looking for bigger houses. Just call me. I can help with that. Anyway, hey, that's what I'm here for. That's what I do in addition to this.
So let me ask you this real quick, and then we'll talk about the technology aspect. So, I mean, is that the trend there? Are people looking for larger homes because they're anticipating that they're going to be home for a while, or what are you seeing?
You know, it's hard to pinpoint just different things, but yeah, that's some of what I've heard. I mean, they even have a commercial right now. Like, you know, people like, you know, grandkids are somewhere else and I wish they were here. And the thing about it is, even if you got them there, you don't want people all on top of each other. They've got commercials out now where it's like everybody's climbing over each other. You know,
right?
Like, I've never understood the whole downsides and thing, but that's just me. I guess I'm greedy, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm with you. I'm like, yeah, I want my big house. I'm not going nowhere.
I gotta
get a chairlift. I'm getting a chairlift.
yeah, for sure. You know.
You know, when
I mean, my mom moved in with us, and you know, but when we bought this house, and it was like all the bedrooms upstairs, and I brought her with me to look at the house, and I'm like, climb the stairs. I want to be sure.
Right.
Climb the stairs. Are you sure this is going to be okay with you? So, like, yeah, she was good with it. She was struggling toward the end, but, yeah, she was good with it.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, another thing that we don't talk about as far as family is concerned is different cultures that are living here in the United States. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
as Americans, we put grandma in assisted living or in the nursing home. But, you know, there are other cultures out there that when kind of like what you did when, you know, mom or, you know, grandma gets older, you just move them in. And so that can
mm-hmm.
be an issue as well because as far as working from home, because, you know, let's say you have parents that are aging and you decide to age them at home. So seniors are on technology, too. You know, so not only do you have yourself and the kids, you know, maybe grandma or grandpa wants to get on start using technology in the home. So how do you create an environment where everyone can, quote unquote, work on home? Because obviously, if you have a senior adult, they're not going to the senior care center or they're not, you know, going out socializing. They're doing all that online. So, you know, it's a really big, I won't call it a mess. It's just a really interesting situation that people are having to deal with as far as this whole work from home scenario. So
it is. And if you are a person you used to having your own home all this time, the other matriarch is used to having her own home all this time, and you all emerging households. You need a big house.
Yeah.
You need a real big house, or you need a guest house on the property or something. I'm just saying.
Right. That's right.
So.
And I know a lady who can help with all that, buying a larger property, right?
Yeah, right. But now, okay, let's go back to the technology aspect, because one of the things that is happening with the working at home, everybody being at home at once, is like everybody is trying to get on the internet at the same time. Somebody's trying to do homework. Someone's trying to do regular work. Someone's watching TV.
Right.
Someone wants to play games. Help, please.
Right. Well,
what to do?
Yeah, the first thing you obviously need to do is call your internet provider to find out what packages are available, or if you're getting the best package, you know, for your home. Because I think, you know, like you said, if you're just, if it's just you, just a single person getting on the internet, for most people, that what you have as an internet package would be enough. But if you're having more people get on that internet, you need to call your provider to find out if you can up your bandwidth and get more speed. Now, the good thing is, if you're in a major metropolitan area, internet's not really an issue. But the real challenge is people that live out in rural areas as far as internet. And we do service for quite a few rural residents. And I hate to say, I kind of cringe when those calls come in because, you know, sometimes there's really no viable solution as far as making sure their quote-unquote computer can run fast. Because a lot of it that we get is my computer's running slow. And it's not the computer, it's the internet. They're like, you know, if you ask further, it's like, well, I'm trying to check Gmail or I can't go to my banking website. It just runs really slow. And so in that instance, you know it's internet. So, you know, what can you do if they don't have any options? But locally, in the, in, you know, in the urban and cities, you know, you've got your options such as Comcast, Spectrum, TNT, and, you know, some areas have Google Fiber, too. So with Google, with all of them, you really do have to check your speed because they offer different internet speed packages. Like, for example, Google Fiber in the areas that offer it, they have slow, really slow. Well, they have really slow and then they have super fast. Those are your options. And so some people assume that because they have Google Fiber, you know, they've got the 1 gigabit of internet speed. That not may not be the case. And I've seen that firsthand where people are bragging, oh, I've got Google. And then you go out and you're like, yeah, you got the real slow Google. That's why you can't stream. That's why the whole family can't stream anything. So it's always a good case, no matter what you have, is to check your internet package and to find out what speed you're currently pulling and seeing if there's a reason or a way to upgrade, because upgrading is really not that expensive. You know, to go from a slower speed to a faster speed, it's really not that expensive. So just real quick, who do you have for internet service?
I have Spectrum.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and Spectrum, I would say if it's in, you know, in your area, it's probably one of the top tier internet service providers in the company. Comcast would be probably next on a national level. But yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of just calling and just asking what your speed is. And then there's two more web-based utilities that you can use in order to check your internet speed. One of them we've talked about all the time, which is speedtest.net.
Yep.
Do you run it? Are you run it?
Oh, yeah, because and one of the things I was going to say, too, is, hey, you might want to renegotiate some of those contracts or plans or whatever, because yeah, I sat there on the phone with Spectrum and ran speed test. I did. Thank you, Burton. I sure did.
I'm not mad at you. That's how you're supposed to do it.
Yes, I did. I sat there. I'm like, you know, because I'm like, you know, I'm about to get rid of y'all and get an antenna and whatever else, you know.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Well, one of the things that I want to share too is that with the internet speed option, every internet provider has their own website where you can do a speed test. And like Spectrum, they have one you can go to, but I'm always skeptical about that because, you know, they may be nudging those speeds to make it look like, oh yeah, you're getting the speed you're paying for. So a good neutral site is to go to speed test. And most internet providers now, they'll accept the speed that you're getting for speed test. So I would say if you're out there and you're talking to your internet provider, don't let them pull the wool over your eyes by them saying, well, you need to go here. Go to speed test only and run the test to get the true speed.
That's what I said. I sat there right there and said, okay, what's this supposed to be now? Speed test is... Yeah, I did. Lowered my bill. Thank you very much.
Oh, did you?
I am happy. Yes, I did.
Yeah,
I lowered my bill and got more stuff.
Really, that's awesome. The other thing I would recommend people too, who regardless of your internet provider, they usually switch plans. So I know Spectrum, when they took over from Time Warner or whoever they were providing with, you were locked into a contract. So, but with Spectrum, if you call and like get on their network, or you switch to their plan, it's month to month. So that way you're not logged in a contract. And like you said, their internet speed with, or not internet speed, but their internet service packages with Spectrum are pretty inexpensive. I think the lowest I've seen is like $33 a month just for internet.
What did you see?
Oh, well, we had Spectrum for a little bit, and our internet bill, and keep in mind, we only had internet. It was $33 a month.
Yeah, see, I didn't see anything that low. I didn't.
Well, you got
TV
too, don't you?
Well, yeah, but when I'm saying internet itself, I did not see that low. It was probably about $10 more. $10,
$11. Oh, well, that's good. I mean, $33, $43 a month for internet, that's reasonable, you know, and for the speeds that they're offering, that's pretty darn good. So don't feel slighted you didn't get it for $10 cheaper.
Okay. All right.
That's still a good price to pay for internet. So
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, before you call me on it, we're going to take a break. I'm here with Mr. Brent Kelso. He tries to run my show sometimes. I have to. Anyway, this is Jeez Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. It's the third Thursday of the month. That means it's Tech Thursday with Burton Kelso of Integral. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast, let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Hi, I'm Jim Garrison. And I think I found a way to help you understand what is chill out jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good, baby.
Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on KHAM Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Hey, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're here with Burton Kelso. It is Tech Thursday, the third Thursday of each month on G's Power Hour. And we are talking about, you know, managing your technology while you're trying to get the kids back in school. Because this week, let's see. What's the date? I'm trying to get the dates. Okay. So this coming Monday.
It's not Friday.
Is when, yeah. I'm trying here. But anyway, Monday coming up was when our students are supposed to be physically able to go back to school. But on the 10th, they started all, at least in Orange County, on the 10th, they started everybody on the, you know, technological preparation in terms of getting back to school, and they were supposed to hand out laptops or whatever and make sure everybody had connections and stuff like that. So by this time, those that still wanted to stay, you know, at home and do school, you know, from home, they could, and the others, they still, you know, were prepared to do part of it from home and part of it, you know, in the school, the physical classroom. That is still being debated right now. One of the other counties this week started back in classroom. But whether you're in classroom or, you know, at home, at your home classroom, your technology still has to be up the snuff, you know. So what has
right.
been, you have two boys. What kind of changes have occurred in terms of the schooling, you know, I guess when this first started and then now that the school year is coming up. When do your kids usually go back? Because I know it's different places.
Yeah, it's usually the middle of August. But obviously now everyone's pushing back to like the first full week of September. So, but yeah, it's normally it's around that area. Yeah, it's the middle of August.
Okay. And so what are you seeing in terms of things that that have changed with the tech stuff?
It's obviously, as far as going back to school, it's a big deal. But, you know, one of the other things that, you know, because you've got schools that have sent kids back, and obviously there's the incident in Georgia where the girl took the photo of the hallway,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, she got suspended, you know, all this other stuff. So
That's messed up.
It was messed up, and she probably can't go back to that school ever again because she was getting threats from her classmates and stuff like that. So that's sad. So it's like a mishmash of everything that's going on. So I think probably what's in going to end up happening is that probably for the first and second quarter, everyone's going to be learning online, you know? So it's going to be difficult to figure out what's really going to happen, but I think it's all going to be an online deal, you know, it's all over.
Yeah. And I know I'm getting off subject, but, you know, I don't know why anyone is surprised when they send these kids back to school, even the college-age ones, and then have to close down schools and stop and send everybody home again. I mean, you know you have young adults that are young adults only by age and not necessarily responsibility going back to these places. So you have to kind of take the lead. And we have old adults that just aren't taking responsibility. So if they're not taking responsibility, you have to manage them and legalize stuff and everything, close bars down, whatever. Then imagine someone who hasn't been a full-fledged adult before getting back into a situation where they got to make decisions and have to make hard decisions, and they don't know how to make hard decisions.
I know.
So
I don't get it either. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just need to shut it down, in my opinion, just till it's all over. But you know, no one listens to the tech guy, so except for maybe you. You know,
I listen.
Yeah.
I listen.
Not everyone.
And I try to apply, but you know, at least I listen.
Right. So, yeah, getting back to the tech stuff, another thing that obviously you need to do is to make sure that the Wi-Fi in your home is pretty robust. And but people get confused with Wi-Fi because they think, well, if my internet's slow, then it's got to be the Wi-Fi. So you always have to narrow it down to your internet first to make sure that it's coming in fast. And then after that, you can go check out the rest of the stuff. But as far as wireless is concerned, one of the things that people misunderstand when it comes to wireless is that that if you buy a router or you get it from the store, if you get one from your internet provider, that no matter the size of your house, it should cover all areas. So with Wi-Fi, your standard wireless router is only good enough to cover a 2,500 square foot house. If you've got anything larger than that, then you need to invest in either a mesh wireless system for your home, or you need to run Ethernet cable to those dead spots in your home to get and set up a Wi-Fi range extender. Or if you don't want to deal with any of those options, then you can go and get what's called a power line adapter. And basically what that does is it sends your internet signal through your home's power lines, and then you can set a repeater up into the area of the home where the Wi-Fi is weak. So Netgear makes a power line adapter, and TP-Link makes a power line adapter. And essentially it's dummy-proof, so it's just a matter of plugging a plug-in near the router and then another plug into the wall outlet in the area of your home where the Wi-Fi is weak, and it'll boost your Wi-Fi signal. So that way you don't have to spend a lot of money trying to expand the Wi-Fi. Because if you get like a Wi-Fi mesh system, which is basically a series of repeaters, those mesh systems can cost around $300. And they sometimes work, but I'm really not a big fan of them. But
I was going to say, the more add-ons you have, doesn't that diffuse the signal more and more or delay it or anything?
It delays it because you're basically repeating the signal.
Yeah.
So it's just creating a bubble. It's expanding the Wi-Fi bubble in your home. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
but yeah, it can delay it. You're not going to get those robust internet speeds like you would if you were sitting right next to the router or plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, TP the power line adapter works a lot better because since it's using the electrical lines in your home to send that internet signal to the weak spots in your home, then it works better because it's not as fast as running directly from an Ethernet cable, but at the same time, it's offering a little bit more robust and stable internet service. So that's something to, you know what I mean? That's something to think about.
Now, with what you're saying, does it make a difference whether or not you have a single-story home versus a two-story home or a multi-level home?
No.
And also, what about the materials in your home?
No, not a power line adapter. It's you can. It doesn't matter where it is. So you could have your, because what happens sometimes your internet provider will put your router down in the basement. So then you could actually plug one TP-Link adapter down in the basement next to the router, and then another TP-Link or Netgear power line adapter up, you know, a level or two, and it'll still send an internet signal up there for you to get Wi-Fi or even wired internet in that room or area that you want it in.
When you mentioned the basement, and a thought just came in my head. So does it make a difference? Is it better to have, you know, your primary internet signal on the lower level of your house, or does it make a difference whether it's your lower level or upper level?
That's a good question. The school of thought with your, I shouldn't say the school of thought, what you need to do with your internet router is
mm-hmm.
to place it in a central location of the home. So it needs to be on the main level, and it needs to be centrally located. But there's internet providers such as AT&T Fiber or Google Fiber. They run fiber right up to the house. So your modem has to be right next to an outer wall, and it makes it difficult to place a router into the center of your home. So,
okay.
But if you have, like, Spectrum, normally they can mm-hmm. position it anywhere they want to because it doesn't use "quote unquote" fiber, so you can work with it a lot. Work with like Spectrum or regular AT&T or even Comcast a little bit better. So, normally you do want it. positioned in the home, centrally located. So,
okay, I was curious about that because all my bedrooms are upstairs, and so I turned one of the bedrooms into my office.
Right.
And so I have the modem and router in that area, which is like toward the back of the house, obviously, so it's not in the center of the house. But then, you know, I work a lot downstairs because it gets, you know, it's Florida. It gets hot, so the heat rises, you know. So a lot of times I'll bring the laptop and work downstairs. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll go anywhere. Power line's probably one of the best tools out there, to be honest with you. Cause,
okay.
And I'm sure you've seen it as a realtor. If someone wanted to run Ethernet cable to the house, which is, like I said, the best option, the challenge is that you'd have to tear through sheetrock and if your house was already built up. Now, if you were building a home, obviously it's a good idea to run Ethernet through your home, but yeah, if your structure's already built, that unless you're an electrician, that's going to be like a Herculean task that you would have to do. So it's better to do either the mesh system because you don't have to do any construction, or a power, or the power line adapters because it's just a matter of plugging something in. So that's probably the most viable method for everyone out there.
Okay, it's time for our next break. We are here with Burton Kelso. It's the third Thursday of the month. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, this third Thursday of the month. Tech Thursday here with Burton Kelso of Integral, and we are talking about making sure that you are truly equipped for the back-to-school journey, whether or not you're doing it from home or you're doing it at school. Want to make sure your tech is right. So go ahead, Burton, take it over.
Okay. But I can't call break time, right? Yeah, so real quick, the next thing that obviously families need to worry about when working at home is cybersecurity. When you're at work, you're under the umbrella of your corporation, so the IT department can kind of monitor what's coming in and out as far as scam emails or just, you know, bad links. But when you're on your own home network, especially working from home, you can get distracted. So things that you normally wouldn't have access to at work, you have access to at home. Like if you get bored in front of your device and you decide to go play online games, or a link pops up that would normally pop up on your work computer, you really need to be careful of those. So it's important to understand, as far as cybersecurity is concerned, that even though you're working at home, you're safe from all of the cyber threats out there, because 99% of them require user interaction. So as long as you're not clicking on stuff or visiting questionable websites, you're going to be good. Your device isn't going to be hacked. You almost nowadays have to click on a link or voluntarily give us some information in order for you to fall for a scam or for your device to get hacked. The other thing that people need to know, too, as far as antivirus software is concerned, if you have a smartphone or tablet, there's really no need to have any antivirus software on your device, because most apps or most smart devices like tablets and phones, you have to click on a link or download something from the app store in order for your device to get infected. Same thing for computers. There's packages like Norton or Kaspersky, AVG, Avast. You can all take that off of your Windows and Macintosh computers. Both Windows and Macs automatically have antivirus software built in. Like Mac, it's invisible, but it's called XProtect. And on Windows computers, it's a Windows Defender, which used to be a horrible antivirus package. But now Microsoft has really stepped up their game and made sure that it's a viable option. So, yeah, if you've got any of that extra antivirus stuff on there, even Malwarebytes or any of those programs, take them off, because your Windows and Mac is equipped to handle it. Same thing with your smartphones and tablets. One other thing, and G, you'll appreciate this one. We're always talking about smart devices at home, like Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. You definitely want to make sure that you mute those devices if you're having confidential conversations at home, because they're set to always record your conversations. So unlike like Hey Google or Siri on your phone, where you have to, you know, you when you say the activation word, it'll open up. Your Alexa device is always listening, kind of like mine is listening right now because I said the activation word. But they always listen, so if you're doing any Zoom webinars or anything like that, you want to always make sure that you mute them or just unplug them so that way anything that you want confidential is not recorded. And then finally, you want to make sure all your devices have some form of backup just in case something catastrophic happens. If you're at work, you know, hopefully the IT guy is backing all that stuff up. But if you're at home, you want to set up automatic backups for all your devices. So if you have a smartphone, and this includes your KISS devices too. So if you've got smartphones, you can either, if you're an Apple user, you can use iCloud. If you're a Google user or an Android user, you can use Google Backup or Google Photos. If you have a computer, you want to use Carbonite to automatically back up your stuff. And that includes kids' information too, because they write paper, especially your older kids, and you want to make sure that they don't lose any of their stuff. So backup is key. You got to make sure it's happening.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned Carbonite before. I got to get on that.
Yeah, you got to get on that. You got to back up that stuff. Well, don't you for real estate, don't you use .loop or do you use something else to
Actually, the company that I just switched to uses .loop. So I'm like in the learning process with that because I've not used it before.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say most of that stuff is covered with .loop because, again, tell me if
really?
I'm right. With .loop, it's basically your signed documents and stuff, correct?
Yeah.
Or all documents that have to deal with a real estate transaction.
So, like I said, that's new for me because, I just switched companies the last couple of months, and so
right.
I'm kind of in the training process with the .loop thing. So.
Yeah, I think it'll store everything, but at the same time, you still want to use something other than .loop to make sure your stuff's back up because it's never a bad idea to have multiple forms of backup. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
I agree.
Yeah, keep that in mind. So next is the printer, which people don't think is important. But, yeah, I would always recommend getting either an Epson or an HP. They have the Echo Tank series, which means that both HP and Epson have printers that don't use ink cartridges anymore. Epson's technology is called Echo Tank, and then I always forget what the HP equivalent is. But the advantage of the tank printers is that your toner cartridges don't dry up, ink's a little bit cheaper, and it'll last a lot longer. And so your tank printers from Epson and HP, they cost more than those $50 printers from Walmart, but they're definitely worth it because they're going to last a long time. Most people run out, especially when it comes to technology. They just get the cheapest thing that they can get their hands on, thinking it's going to last forever. But those printers that you see at like Walmart or even Target or some of the other electronic stores that are like $50 up to $100, those are mainly throwaway printers. So you shouldn't expect a long life out of those devices. So get one of the Office Jet or HP tank printers or Epson tank printers. And when you get an all-in-one printer, you want to make sure that if it's got wireless capability, and it's got the ability for you to print from your smartphone or tablet. Because obviously, with us being mobile, you want a printer that's going to allow you to print from any device out there.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my second HP that I've had. I mean, I've mostly had nothing but HPs for the most part. I've used some others. I think I might have had a Canon, but for the most part, for years and years, I've gone with HP and I've not been disappointed.
Yeah, HP makes a good product. But, buy an HP printer, you need to spend over $100 for – same thing with Epson. I mean, you need to spend over $100 – I would say at least $150 for a printer. Most people
– Oh, no. No, I can't do that because a lot of things have changed now, though, since I've bought the printer. It's interesting how fast things change. And the reason I say it's changed is because – you know, a lot of stuff now, so much stuff is done electronically that it's only maybe for me until, let's say, the end of the transaction that I actually have to print out something to have a hard copy to be on file when everything is done, more or less. But a lot of stuff is done electronically now. So I don't need
right.
as much paper and ink as I used to. But when I do need it, it needs to be good quality. So I don't know. I don't do the $50 printers at all. But it pays for itself. The only thing, I mean, shoot, right now, the printer ink almost costs more than the printer.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you buy a more expensive one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something else to consider, too, as far as that's concerned. So, anyway, yeah, spend some money on a printer. I mean, you definitely won't regret doing it. You know, it's worth it.
But they don't cost nearly as much as they used to.
No, they don't. They don't. But part of that, too, is whenever new technology comes out, the old stuff is cheaper, and then, you know, you graduate to the new stuff. So,
yeah.
Anyway, the next, what was I going to say? Oh, the next tip is monitoring your kids' online activity. This one's pretty simple. They have parental control software for every device out there. So it doesn't matter if your kids have a Switch or an Xbox or a PlayStation or a computer or even tablets or a phone, enable those parental controls. Now, what parents want to happen with parental controls on devices is that they want it to monitor every little thing that they do. And there's no such parental control software out there because kids get sneaky, they start chatting in the chat rooms of different apps, and there's no way that a parental control software can monitor that type of – it can't monitor those conversations. So the best thing to do is to enable parental controls where it'll at least allow you to set a schedule so that they can't hop on and do stuff. But then you also want to check your kids' devices on a regular basis to make sure that they're not going to places that they shouldn't go and having conversations they shouldn't, you know, having conversations they shouldn't be having online. I know with parents, they're always wanting just to install one thing and then have it monitor everything, but it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. You've got to at least check it on a regular basis to make sure that they're doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
So have you had any, I know I'm getting your business, have you had any, you don't have to go into a lot of, have you had any issues where you've kind of caught your kids, or do they just know better because it's you?
Oh, no. The problem with technology is it's addictive. So most kids have the issue, and we struggle with it too, where they'll hop on their game devices rather than doing what they're supposed to do. So, I mean, I think every parent struggles with it. Most parents don't want to mention that, or they just give up the fight and don't even deal with it. But, I mean, it's a constant battle as far as technology, because newer technology and apps and games are designed to keep kids engaged and addicted. So you really have to either lock it up or set some sort of limits on it so they can't get to the device, because it's just, you know, it's just too much for their little minds. So they, you know, we deal with it in our household. I know there's tons of parents out there that deal with it too. So, you know, you just have to keep fighting the fight and just deal with it and make sure that they always stay on point as far as what they need to do. Now, as far as the kids are concerned, once you start the process of doing parental controls, then it kind of lessens them trying to gravitate towards their devices, especially if they're locked up. You know, there's not much they can do if the device is locked up or they just can't get onto the device. So it kind of trains them sort of, well, I know not to get on this device because I can't get on it anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So.
So the... Are we at break time? Or I was going to throw out one other thing too. Then
go
we can
ahead.
Start talking
yeah.
about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the last thing I was going to say is make sure that you create set office hours, too, and school hours for your kids. I mean, get on a regular schedule doing school work, and, of course, it allows you to adjust to doing work, because if you work from home, it's kind of hard to shut off the ability to manage a regular schedule, because, I mean, if you've got access to your device, you can always work, and that's not what you want to do. You want to definitely just have set hours so that way you can spend time with your family, because if you don't, everyone's going to be on their devices 24/7 looking at them. So, yeah, have set hours.
Okay.
So.
All right. Going to take our final break because Burton said so. Anyway, this is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good. Entertainment. Come on, y'all. If you got questions, good time to ask. The number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour. I never had it so good. Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G, and I thank you for being with us today. Join us tomorrow, third Friday, Friday in the Garden with Robert Bowden of Lou Gardens. He's going to be with us. And in the meantime, we are back here with Mr. Burton Kelso of Integral. It's Tech Thursday on G's Power Hour. So you've got questions. The number is 516-387-1944 for the next 13 minutes or so. Anyway, so... You there?
I'm here. Yeah, you
okay.
Like so. You just said so. I'm like so. Yeah, let's talk about tech items. So I've got it broken down into two lists. There's the tech items you need if you're sending your kids back to school, and then if you're keeping them home, there's the tech items that you need to have. So just to run through them real quick, if you're sending your kid back to school and they've got a smartphone, probably the best item to get would be the Tech 21 Microbio phone case. It's a phone case that's designed for both Apple and Android devices, and it promises to kill up to 99% of germs on the smart device. So if you've got a Microbio case, then your kid doesn't have to worry about disinfecting their smartphone all the time, because the case is actually killing the germs. So it reduces their risk to just regular germs, and, of course, flu virus germs as well. So the next item I actually love, it's the Tenoshi 2-in-1 computer, and it's an Android laptop that comes with a keyboard, and you can take the screen off the keyboard and use it as a tablet. But it's inexpensive. Tenoshi computers usually run about $200, but it's an excellent item if you've got younger kids or even high school kids, if you want to find them a cheap option that works well, both a tablet and a computer, I would highly recommend you get them a Tenoshi 2-in-1 computer, because I know some parents will go out and spend a lot on a laptop only to have the kid damage the laptop. So if you get a Tenoshi computer, they can damage it, and then, of course, you won't be out of pocket to get another computer. So it's almost, to kind of break it down, having a Tenoshi 2-in-1 computer is almost like having a Chromebook. But Chromebooks usually run around, I would say, $250, $300, but the Tenoshi is like right at $200. So that would be my recommendation for a computer. And headphones are always important for kids. So the ones that are inexpensive, and our boys actually own them, is the Blue Dio Bluetooth headphones. And they're kind of larger than most Bluetooth headphones, and they're actually their ear pods. So you can have your kids shove them in their ear. They can look cool. But at the same time, they run about $30. So if they lose them, then you won't be out of pocket with those headphones as opposed to like Apple AirBuds, which cost, what, $250? So that would be a good viable option. Next would be the Mophie Power Boost external battery. So if your kids need to charge their devices, Mophie battery pack would be a good thing for them to have. So that way, if their phone's running low or if they've got a tablet that's running low, they can plug it into the Power Boost and it'll charge it up. And the good thing about the Power Boost is it'll charge a smartphone and a tablet at the same time. And then finally, as far as if you're sending your kids back to school, the thing that you want to get is Phone Soap Go, which is the UV radiation cleaner or disinfector. And Phone Soap Go comes with a handy case so your kids can carry it with them. So if they need to charge their phone and zap germs on it, they can take Phone Soap with them. So now as far as the items you need if you're keeping your kids at home, the first one we talked about already was the Logitech Powerline Wi-Fi adapter, which allows you to beef up the Wi-Fi in your home. And those are, like I said, those are pretty inexpensive options. The next item is the Ott Light LED. So if your kids need a desk lamp, LED lights work good. And the good thing about Ott Light is that it'll work either with Google Home or with your Amazon Echo devices. So you can say, you know, you can use the keyword for both Google and Amazon and have the light turn on automatically. Products would be Home Soap, which is basically the larger version of Phone Soap. You can put tablets and smartphones in them. Air Soap, believe it or not, is an air purifier. It's supposed to zap those germs in the air. So if you're everyone's working at home and you want to keep your home germ-free, Air Soap, which is made by the makers of Phone Soap, will allow you to zap the germs in the air of your home. As far as webcams are concerned, Logitech C920 is probably one of the best webcams on the market. It ranges around $70, and the quality on it is just incredible. It's high def. I don't know if it's 4K, but it's a really easy to use webcam that'll work with Windows and Apple devices. And then the last two would be the Amazon Echo Show, which is Amazon Echo device. It's got a screen on it. So if you've got the smaller version, which ranges that runs around $60, you can put it in your kids' room. They can talk back and forth with friends and family. They can watch videos. They can ask the Echo questions for homework. So it's just a versatile device that they can have that's handy. And then finally, we talked about the printers before. So yeah, Epson Echo Tank or the HP Smart Tank printer would be the one that I would recommend to get for stay-at-home stuff. So there's a list of all the tech items that you should get for stay-at-home or, you know, if you're sending your kids back to school.
Did you send me that list?
Yeah. Could I send it to you?
Did you? Well, yeah. Could you send it to me? I don't remember you sending it to me.
I'll send it to you, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I was going to say it's on my blog, too, at burtonkelso.com. /blog. So, yeah, it's
okay.
Like my most recent blog post. So, yeah, that's the list. So,
it's not on the Call Integral Now blog?
I've got two blogs. I've got the Call Integral Now blog and the Burton Kelso blog. They're identical.
Okay, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm double blogged.
Because I have been sharing some stuff today from the Call Integral Now blog, so I'll have to check the other blog. Okay.
Yeah, they're on both. I double blog. So,
oh, you double blog. You got it like that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I greatly appreciate it. I'm sure everybody else appreciates it right now because I'm sure everybody's kind of getting overwhelmed and getting a bad case of tech headache. I won't say everybody, but some of us. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah.
Good to have. Good
to
have the information.
Tired of Zoom meetings and stuff. Yeah, it happens all the time. You know.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I mean, I was just on Zoom moments before getting on here. And yeah, meetings are on Zoom, classes are on Zoom, and, you know, some of the other, I guess, sites, it seems like Zoom has monopolized all of these things right now. So, but, you know, I mean, in a way, you know, you kind of have a love-hate relationship with it, you know. So in a way, you kind of have to thank God that it's there, you know. Otherwise, a lot of us would be in bad shape in terms of working and you know, maintaining our education and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, come on. There's FaceTime and Skype, you know, and go to meeting. But I think the thing that makes Zoom more appealing is that.
I've done to go to meeting. Skype is pricey now.
Yeah. You can still chat to up to 5 people for free. But, yeah, as far as Zoom and the video conferencing thing, they really have it locked down because what's the word that I'm looking for? Oh, because you can do an instant meeting for free. And and as far as when someone sends you a Zoom meeting link, it's just a matter of clicking on the link, and then
right.
of course, then you're in it. There's really no,
right.
there's nothing to do, you know. So that makes a feeling.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because I was gonna do Mother's Day. I was gonna do Skype with my mother-in-law, and we were gonna do Skype, and they charge. Well, I had not done it before, but from what I saw. They charged you to do it, and so we ended up just going through Facebook. But,
right,
yeah. Anyway. All right, so we know how to get in touch with you because you told us. So, like I said, I have been sharing some of your information on the Geese Power Hour Facebook page. So, and then, he's all over the place now because he's the person that you ask. So, you know, make sure you're following him. I think I did the invite for you on Facebook. So, you know, hopefully people
right.
are reaching out. And, you know, but you've got some really good articles here. And so really, really appreciate you taking the time to put those articles out there and taking the time to be with us here on Geese Power Hour every month. We really appreciate it. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. I enjoy sharing the knowledge because I know technology is that's pretty complicated stuff, and technology is changing all the time. Because, I mean, this
time,
last year, I don't think anyone was really using, the occasional person was using Zoom, but now everyone's using Zoom, and, you know, it's just, it's just a whole different world that we're living in. It's depending on what's going on in the world, depends on what type of technology takes off. And so right now, it's the webcam technology. Obviously, the video conferencing technology has taken off. And I would also say your wireless technology has taken off, too, because everyone wants to have Wi-Fi or wireless in their home. So,
and the funny thing about it, too, I was scrolling kind of quick looking at headlines of some of your articles. And at one point in time, probably around this time last year, we were talking about how do you unplug? How do you unplug? I was like, plug it out. So, oh, God, it's just crazy, you know, but we got to do what we can to keep up. And I really appreciate you helping us do that. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Blessed day and month, and talk to you next month.
All right. It sounds like a plan.
All right, take care. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Like I said, Friday in the Garden tomorrow, other stuff next week, Faith Friday, a week from this coming Friday. So make sure you join us then. Have a very blessed day. Be well, be safe, and please remember all real power comes from God. Take care.